This morning, we are in 1 John chapter 2. I'll begin reading in verse 3 in just a moment and share a message this morning entitled, Be Like Jesus in 2019. Now, in a couple of weeks, we're going to jump back into Romans, get to Romans 12, 13, 14. That'll lead us up to the Belong weekend when Scott Dawson will be here, and we'll have those five great evangelistic gatherings across our city. You be praying much for that. That'll be rolling out this week. You'll hear more and more and more and more about it, because this year we want to make sure that we know the Lord, that we show the Lord, and that we grow in the Lord. So you make sure that you've got those three words in your heart, in your mind, and you are ready to go forward. Being like Jesus in 2019. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, by this we know that we've come to know Him. That's our first word. If we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. Walk like Jesus. Be like Jesus. If you say you know Him, you keep His commandments, and you obey His commandments. As we launch this new year here at Olive, I want to share with you how to walk like Jesus and look at four thrusts that He gave us, examples and exhortations of things we should do if we're going to walk and live like Jesus in the coming year. And then I want us to pray together. And we're going to pray over this year. Then we'll lift our praise. Then Robert will sing. Then we'll give our offering. Then we'll go to the next step tables. So I want to encourage you to jump into this text with me. Now listen to me this morning. Do not worry. Do not worry about status. You concerned about your status? Don't worry about your status. There is only one status that our Lord bids us to be concerned with. And that is the status of proximity to Himself. Be like Jesus. That's your status. He bids us come and be with Him. Get close to Him. For Christ to be in us and us to be in Him. That's your status in Christ. Christ in you. Listen to what the Word of God says. Romans 8 and verse 29, where the Bible says, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined us. He predestined us to become conformed to what? The image, that's our status, the image of His Son, so that we would be the firstborn among many brethren. Be like Jesus, the image of the Lord Jesus. Paul said it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same what? There it is again. Image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. It is His image that is our status. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, Paul said it this way, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have His attitude. That's our status. There's a little verse over in Ephesians chapter 5, the very first verse, and it says this, be imitators of God as beloved children. Be like God. Imitate Him like children. This morning my son dropped me off for church and headed back to Virginia. He's on the road now. Headed there for his last semester of law school. Big bushy beard. What they do at law school. stack of books this tall. But I remember when he tried to walk in my shoes. Your kids did it, didn't they? They went and they put their little feet in your big shoes. Sometimes they'd put boots on. And they'd come way up. I remember in Texas, we had a big snow up north Texas. And I was going out through the yard, and the snow was over 6-7 inches deep. And so I was making those footprints to go out and get the mail. And I looked back, and here he came. And he was putting his little foot, trying to, in that big hole I'd made. Paul said, be imitators of God, like as beloved. Listen, if you love the Heavenly Father, you're going to want to put your feet where His feet have been. You're going to want to live like Jesus. You look to your Father and say, that's the pattern. Not this guy, not that guy, not some. The pattern is Jesus. And if you are in Him and He's in you, be perfected in His love and be like Jesus. So this morning, I want to show you four areas of life where the Scripture exhorts us to be like Jesus. So jot them down. Here we go. Number one, I want to encourage you, be like Jesus in His service. In His service. Look at John 13, verses 14 and 15, where the Bible says, if I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet, for I gave you what? An example that you also should do as I did to you. Jesus washed the feet. Now, does that mean we should be washing each other's feet? I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a foot washing. We've done it in our deacons' meeting from time to time. I remember the first time that we did that and washed feet. And it was one of the greatest deacon gatherings we ever had. Jim Henry, the great First Baptist Church of Orlando, challenged me one time. He said, young preacher, that was years ago. He said, young preacher. He put his nose, his face right in, his finger in my face. He said, I challenge you, go to your deacons, get pots of water. We do it every year, Ted. Challenge them to wash one another's feet. If you go to the men in this room that were part of that gathering, those times we've done that, I'm here to tell you, there's no, because you get low and you come down and you take, and it's service. Service. Serve. Where are you serving Jesus? Or are you just one that says, I want everybody to serve me? Friend, you're not like Jesus if you want everybody to serve you. You're only like Jesus when you're ready to serve everyone. You got to become a foot washer. That you go and no task is too menial. Nothing is too degrading. You serve anywhere, anytime. Serve anybody at any place. That's the church. Kierkegaard said, the problem with Christians is that they need to be Christianized. In other words, those that say they're Christians need to be like Christ. Our problem is we're too much like church people that are big leaders. We've got to become like Jesus. Walking the dusty road and meeting people in need and serving. It was a day over in my office I shall never forget. There was a gentleman, he's dead and gone now. He'd been in jail. And he'd been in jail for child abuse. He got right with God while in jail. He said, oh, preacher, everybody gets right with God in jail. No, they don't. A lot of people say they do. But you see, 1 John says, if you come to know Him, you'll keep His commandments. You change. God changed this old boy in prison. He came to me, came to my office. He said, Pastor, I'd like to come to Olive. Can I do that? And we began to talk about it. And I said, you can, but let me just build you some fences. You can't ever serve in the children's area, and you couldn't be in the nursery, and just don't be around children. I said, that, number one, be a bad testimony to our people. He said, no, I don't want to be. I just want to know, can I come to church? I said, yes, sir. And he began to serve here. Man, he is the real deal, real deal. A few years ago, God moved him, and he left here and was gone for 4 years before the Lord called him home. The last week he lived in Pensacola, he came and made an appointment at my office. And when he walked in, he was carrying a bucket. And I sat down, and he said, Pastor, I have a request. I said, yeah. He said, may I wash your feet? Now, you got to be pretty arrogant to tell somebody they can't wash your feet. Huh? But, man, I felt bad. I said, well, I guess so. And so I sat in the chair in my office. He slid down on his knees and took off my shoes, took off my socks, took a little bar of soap, lathered up a little washcloth. He washed my left foot, praying for me while he's washing. He took that foot and patted it dry and put it over on a towel, and he washed my other foot. This man was old enough to be my father. And when he finished, he crawled up on my thighs to my chest and laid his head over on my shoulder and wept. And he said these words to me that I will never forget. Thank you for receiving me and allowing me to come to your church. My God. He cried, I cried. He went off. We wrote a time or two. Then word came that he had died and gone to heaven. I think it was one of my better days of pastoral ministry. Day one when I told him he could come, and day two when I just sat there and he washed my feet. He made an indelible mark on this preacher's life, but on scores of people in this congregation that he just served as an unknown entity. Let me tell you, dear friend, if you're going to be like Jesus in 2019, you got to serve people. No matter the task, no matter the assignment. My mother, she said, you know, we just got too many big shots in the church. That's her word. She said, you know, a big shot ain't nothing but a little shot away from home. That was her line. Where nobody knows you. Yeah. We don't need a bunch of big shots at Olive. What we need is a bunch of servants. If you're going to be like Jesus this year, serve. Secondly, if you're going to be like Jesus this year, you be like Jesus not only in his service, but in his love, in his love. Ephesians 5, I read to you verse number 1 where it said, be imitators of God as beloved children. But verse number 2 says, coming right out of that in Ephesians 5 and verse number 2, that you walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us in an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. If you're going to be like Jesus, serve. If you're going to be like Jesus, you got to love. How do you love? You love like Christ loved you. He gave himself up, that sacrificial kind of love. It's an offering that has a sacrifice, that has aroma to it, that it smells up the place. That's the way the love of God does. It smells it up, doesn't make it stink. It makes it sweet. We are to love like he loved. God gave himself the cross. The cross is the greatest love. When you've laid down your life for the brethren, you've loved them. When you lay down your life for your friends. In Ephesians 5, we read that verse, and then we jump down to verse 25, and he applies the word love when he says, husbands. How many husbands I got in here today? Raise your hand if you're married to a woman. Husbands, husbands, this is for you. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Most ladies will be really happy if you'll just go to the cross and die for her. You love her that way. You love her like Jesus loved the church. That's the way we're to love our wives. We love our children. We love the people that are in our world. I have some ladies, they'll say to me when I do a wedding, said, I don't want you to use that verse where it says submit to the man. I said, well, that's a piece of cake. I said, the word of God tells the woman to submit to the husband. He tells the man to die. You got the good end of this deal. Oh, dear friends, if we're going to be like Jesus, we've got to serve. If we're going to be like Jesus in his love, if there's anybody in your life right now that there's something between you and that person, this is the year to take care of it. Nothing between, first of all, your soul and the Savior, and then your soul and your brother, your sister. Some people harder to love than others, I understand. But it's up to you whether you're holding on to that grudge. Let it go. It's not hurting them. It's just killing you. Begin to love like Jesus loved. Thirdly, not only be like Jesus in his service, be like Jesus in his love. Thirdly, be like Jesus in his patient endurance. His patient endurance. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. We find the word of God says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are, what's that word? Unreasonable. You got any of those people in your life? For this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure, this finds favor with God. Look at verse 20. Look at it. You want to find the favor of God this year? When you're harshly treated, patiently endure. Verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered, leaving you what? There's that word again. An example for you to follow in his steps. Jesus, the man of patient endurance, went to the cross. The old hymn writer says he could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and for me. Baptists quit too easy. Oh, I got my feelings hurt, or they didn't ask me, or they didn't put me on this group, or I didn't get to drive the bus. God calls you to patient endurance, the patient endurance of the Lord Christ. Jesus didn't come off the cross. Dear friend, you can't lay yours down. Pick up your cross. Come and follow me, says the Lord Jesus. Persist, 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 persist. Stay by the stuff. Friend, we got a world to win, a community to touch, a church to build, disciples to make. We cannot do this work if we got to be messing with the people that's quitting all the time. Got to patiently endure if you're going to be like Jesus all the way to the end. You got to be like Churchill when he went to Harris School. Not sure that you hear this story over and over and over. He went to Hara, H-A-R-O-W, where he was in his grade school years, and he wasn't the greatest student they ever had. But they said they invited Churchill back to speak. And the story is that when they invited him to come, he walked to the podium and he had his cane and he hung it on the podium and he looked out and he said to the children at Hera, "Never, never, never, never quit." And he picked up his cane and walked away. Never quit, friend. So, "Oh, preacher, I got a burden. I got to load it." Never quit. You never know when just on the other side, daylight of the glory of God breaks through. He lived in Massachusetts in 1813. His name, Adoniram Judson. The father of the modern-day mission movement, most people say. He was not the first, but just became the most well-known. And in that congregational church in 1813, he answered the call to missions to go to Burma, close to China. He was single. He was in love with Anne. And he went to Anne and he proposed marriage, and here was his proposal. "Dear Anne, give me your hand and go with me to the jungles of Asia and there die with me for the cause of Christ." She said yes. Wow. "Anne, give me your hand and go with me to the jungles of Asia and there die for the cause of Christ." They packed it up and went to Burma. Didn't know the language. He worked at it for 6 years. Didn't win anybody. Didn't win a soul. In the seventh year, they had their first convert. 7 years. 3 times longer than the average Baptist pastor stays in a church where everybody can understand him. Patient endurance. It took him 20 years, but he learned the language and he translated the Bible into Burmese. He buried Anne, married again, and buried a second wife. Out of his 2 wives, he had 6 children that he buried in Burma. He spent 2 years in jail because of the war. They thought he was a spy. He was not, but they jailed him nonetheless. They would hang him by his feet at night and he'd rest on his shoulder blades in the prison. When Anne was alive, she'd scavenge for food and bring to him. When Adoniram Judson died, he had been in Burma 37 years. They had 7,000 converts and he had planted 63 churches. The father of the modern day mission movement. You don't know where one of the great revivals of the world is going on today? It's in China. You want to know where the root of that Chinese revival? It goes back to Adoniram Judson. If he had not patiently endured, let me tell you, if 12 people had not patiently endured 125 years ago, this church wouldn't sit on this corner today. Had Jeff Russo not fought through for 17 years, Dr. Passmore hadn't been faithful 17 years. If scores of people in this church had not paced, this church wouldn't sit on this corner. And let me tell you, dear friend, if we don't patiently endure, it won't sit here 20 years from now. Oh, but when God finds His people that will persist, oh, it's just easy to quit. I hear football coaches all the time. They say, what do you want to do? Our job is to make the other team quit. And if they quit, we'll run over them. You can watch it in athletics. You see it. You'll see a team just wilt and die. And finally, they quit. Paul Cooley, my high school basketball coach, as much like a daddy to me as anybody I knew. He screamed every word in English language at me. Cursed like a sailor. Then God changed his life when I was in the 10th grade and the Jesus movement came. I can hear him say to me over and over and over, don't be a quitter. Don't be a quitter. But now listen to me. The strength of your flesh is not enough. It's God incarnate in you. That's where the power comes from, is when you die to yourself and Jesus lives through you. Matter of fact, it'd do some of us a world of good to quit in our flesh. And begin to pick up the cross and begin to walk in the Spirit of God. Be like Jesus in your service. Be like Jesus in love. Be like Jesus in patient endurance. Number four, he tells us in John 17 and John 20 to be like Jesus in his mission. In his mission. Listen to it. John 17 and verse 18, Jesus said, praying to the Father in that great prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. John 20 and verse 21, so Jesus said unto them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Here is the crux of the matter. We as believers have been sent into the world. We are on mission. Whether we are in Massachusetts, whether we are in Burma, whether we are in Pensacola, whether we are in Texas, whether we are in China, whether we are in Romania, we've been sent into the world. Jesus left the portals of glory and came to planet Earth to die for you and die for me. He was a man on mission, and he said, Father, as you have sent me, so these that are following me, I have sent them. We are sent people, sent into the world. Where have we been sent? We've been sent to the jail cell. We need to go into the prison with the gospel. We've been sent into the classroom. We need people sent into the classroom with the gospel. We are sent into our recreational sporting areas where you work out, where you play golf. You are sent when you are there. But in our workaday world, in your workplace, you have been sent. It is your pulpit. I have one. You have one. Some of yours may be with a hammer and a saw. It's a pulpit. Some of you with pen and paper. It's your pulpit. Some of you at the keystroke, we hired a young lady this week to work on our team here, and she lives in New York City, and she will remain in New York City and work for us remotely here. It's the wave of the world. I talked with a guy the other day. He said, I have a secretary. She's my virtual assistant. She lives in Boston. We see each other once or twice a year. She comes, but we just Skype and talk. When they told me we were hiring somebody in New York, I said, number one, that's crazy. Number two, I said, I've always wanted somebody that lived in New York to work for me. I said, amen. That young lady, her keypad is her pulpit. Wherever you are, wherever you go, you are sent people. Amen. My Lord, what if half of our congregation got this? What if we sent just half of our people on mission? I'm talking about right where they go every day. Well, I mean, we go on mission trips, but I'm telling you, when you leave here today, you're going on a mission trip. When you leave this campus, you're on a mission trip. If you're going to be like Jesus, you'll be like him when you serve. You'll be like him in his love. You'll be like him in patient endurance. You'll be like him on mission. On mission. Now, there's one last thing I want you to see in 1 John, and then we're going to pray together. John, come, and I want you to begin to play behind us quietly while we pray one with another. And as we hear this verse, look at it. In 1 John 2, I read it to you, but whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. Now listen to me. On that Warrington campus, wherever you go on mission, praying that God would perfect love in every one of you there at Warrington. On our campus here, that love would be perfected in us. Now that's an interesting phrase in verse 5. The love of God, if you keep his word, the love of God has truly been perfected. That speaks of a process. You get converted, but you got growing to do, amen? And God converts you, and then you become conformed to his image, and then you find you give him control of various areas of your life. I know it doesn't bother some of you, but my tongue bothers me from time to time. Some of you, it doesn't bother. Others of you, it bothers greatly. You must bring control of your tongue unto the Lord. You see, it's the process where love is perfected. And you begin to look more like Jesus than you look like your earthly daddy. Because your heavenly Father now rules. Today, on the mountain, they're burying my 99-year-old aunt, Aunt Argel, the oldest of my father's siblings. There were five. They asked me to come do the funeral, but I could not. I had to be here today. So my cousin, who is a pastor, is doing that service. And I look at those kids, 99, 97, 95, 93, and 91. Somebody told me the other day, they said, Pastor, you got good genes. I said, well, yeah, I don't know if I can wear them or not, but I got good genes. And when I look at Aunt Argel, I can see my grandmother Trailer in her. In her face, she's just like her. When she makes a pie, her hands just like her. She takes that fork around the edge of that coconut pie, and she just, well, that's perfection. Melt in your mouth. We all have this natural DNA that makes us like our parents. But there's a supernatural DNA when you get submitted to it that will make you not like your earthly parents, but like your heavenly Father. And people should see more of Jesus in you than they do your earthly daddy. And this year, it's my prayer for you that you would be like Jesus in 2019. That you'd serve like he served, you'd love like he loved, you'd endure like he endured, and that you'd be on mission.